Hi, 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 and welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And this is ostensibly an advice podcast, and we're heading past, we've shot past Halloween, and now we're into, well, what are we into? November. We're recording November. And
the most wonderful time of the year.
The most stressful time of the year. You mean?
No. It really is the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm jumping ahead in the notes, so it's not fair. But it came up organically.
It did.
You guys.
Because we mentioned the month.
It's the best. It's the best time of year. Do you know what time of year it is?
Please
I'll
inform
say
us what
no
time of year it is.
Okay. So I can. Along. It's the war on Christmas, guys. The war on Christmas is back.
Because you were mentioning this before, and I was like, oh, that's right, we did do the war on Christmas last year.
We
have been doing this podcast.
We've been doing it for
but
a while.
We need a sound drop, though.
There will have been a sound drop when you said the war on Christmas. I promise you, this time I will actually do it. I'm not going to be lazy.
Well, then you can edit out me asking for a sound drop.
No. Editing, I can do sound drops. Editing you out is not what I do.
You know how this goes by now.
Yeah, I mean, we leave everything in.
Already started. I saw a post about someone arguing with a cashier about whether or not they could say happy holidays.
Oh my god.
I haven't even seen the Starbucks cup yet, but my coffee shop has like all the Christmas garbage out, and I got a Christmas cup this morning, and it is suitably red with Santas and reindeer, I think, on it. So
oh my god.
The first person to send me a picture of the Starbucks cup for the season, like, wins cool points or something. I don't know.
I just hate it because the stupid, Christmas commercials have started up again. And, you know, they just reuse them for 5 million years. Like,
oh,
all
my
companies,
God.
They're like, all right, we've made a good Christmas commercial. We can, like, wipe our hands of this for the next decade or two or three.
Oh, my God. The incestuous coffee commercial is going to be back. Yeah. Yes.
There's got to be, I mean, again, jumping ahead of the notes, but there's got to be fanfic of that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I will look that up when it's more seasonally appropriate. I refuse right now.
Hold that one for December.
Yeah. I refuse right now because I am already, waging my war on Christmas because, God. I don't remember what there was. Oh yeah, it's the stupid toothbrush commercial that they have for like... Mom said it's a tradition to get this toothbrush, and so here you go, Santa. You're gonna need it with your cookies. And I'm like,
oh my god.
Claire, you've just found your new RPG, your new TTRPG character. I need you to play the annoying toothbrush person.
Annoying little girl.
The annoying
giving
toothbrush
Santa Claus
kid.
A toothbrush
for the Grape Wars. The Great Murders. Yeah. Sorry, it was Second War. Oh my god. And you know, like, Halloween is like this big shield between, at least in the U.S., between us and Christmas. And like,
I know, but that's what I hate is it has creeped into stores at least before.
It has.
Like, I was complaining a couple weeks ago on here about going to Michael's and they already had all their Christmas stuff out.
You fucking, were? Oh my god.
Yeah, it was like the middle of October.
Yeah, because
I mean, at the very least, they wait on the commercials until the second it turns to
November
1st.
Trick or treating hadn't even started here, and there was an advert on Facebook for an advent calendar. I mean, it's very nice of them to remind me because I never remember to get an advent calendar in time.
Oh man. Yeah, my kids do advent calendar. We had a Lego advent calendar once. Which
yeah,
was really
see,
good, but
I was astounded when I learned there was advent calendars with things. Like, we did an advent calendar every year, and it was just one, usually the same one reused again and again, but it was just like a little, like, cardstock thing.
Just a little window that you opened.
Yeah, and you'd open the little windows.
They must day. Have only started putting things in them in like the last few years.
Yeah.
Or so.
There's... Yeah, there was at most there was like maybe little pictures behind the ones you would open.
if anyone's looking for gift ideas for Brandon, there is an advent calendar out there that has a dram of Scotch whiskey in it for every day of advent.
I mean, do you open it up with breakfast or do you open it up with dinner?
I don't know. You open it up when the fuck ever you want because you're an adult.
Now they should have those. Have you guys seen the horrible little Tide Pods of whiskey?
Yes!
Oh, yes! I can't believe that wasn't.
And vodka. I've seen them for like multiple.
Yeah, multiple as someone yeah. said, you can tell Gen Z is getting older now that they've released this.
They like Tide Pods. Let's put booze in them.
Yeah, let's put booze in
them. Wait, there's millennials in Congress and Gen Z's going to college. What are we doing?
Gen Z's drinking their Tide Pod alcohol.
Or maybe it's a reaction to Tide Pods.
I just like the idea of like, but that, it's just gonna make things worse because you know that if you get drunk enough,
yeah,
you won't
notice
the difference.
Yeah, now you're making that association.
It's gotten there's like some weird stuff out there now. Like my spouse brought home, and it was just before I started stage managing this last show, because I thought they were really useful. But they're like these little tablets of Listerine mm-hmm. that you put in your mouth and you chew it up. And it turns into some kind of foamy wash and you swish it around and then you swallow it. And
okay.
I was really put off by it at first, but I tried one, you know, in a rare moment of bravery. Trying new things. And they weren't that bad. I wish I could have found them for when I was stage managed, because man, I had rank breath. My poor light board operator.
I did, speaking of the Christmas happening, the happening, is that
the happening?
How do you bloody pronounce his name? I don't know. I'm sorry. That was very racist of me. Anyway, I went
Shyamalan,
into the city yesterday.
I
went into the city yesterday for therapy, and the Christmas tree at the Creamy Cherry building is up. And there's a, I don't know if you guys... Well, you probably don't because you haven't been to Sydney, but we have the Queen Victoria building because, of course, we love our queen as we are, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love the Queen Victoria building.
A vassal state of England. and it's a big, big old Victorian building, funnily enough. And in the middle is a big circle place where they put a Christmas tree that takes up four stories because the building is 4 stories tall. So I went into therapy yesterday and, of course, stopped off at the paint store because that's what I do now to make up for the fact that I have to talk about myself for an hour. And the tree was up, and I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's just November 4th. And I swear to God, it goes up at midnight on October 31st, that tree.
I
have definitely been. Yeah.
But yeah.
Just like, why?
Oh.
Why?
If you send me a picture of the Starbucks cup, I'll put it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
I'll hope that they
have some guts again this year. Yeah.
I'll put your name on it and everything in a cute little graphic or something like that of like Satan. I don't know. But I've got graphic making programs now, so
Oh man. I mean I don't like there's what annoys me about the war on Christmas and Christmas in general is just that, like, as an adult, Christmas is just so fucking tiring. Like, it's just so... I used to love Christmas so much. I think I loved it right up to the point when I was about... probably about 25, when I started having to negotiate family, where to go with families. And I just, as soon as it started being like that, I was just like, oh, Christ, I hate it. And I felt really
exhausting.
Bad.
We do like three it's goddamn so months of whatever for a 2-day holiday. Jesus Christ. I didn't even mean that.
I know you guys both did it. Saw a Christmas tree. Jesus Christ.
Let's move on to it to an actual segment. Well, I guess that is an actual segment now.
Yeah,
stand by for War on Christmas.
War on Christmas! I'll have to have an opening and closing theme for that.
Yeah.
So the closing theme will be
that's awesome.
Whether we win or lose.
We're getting
and we'll
so
have to tally up the points at the end. Does Christmas win or do we do?
Oh my God, I'm going to need a whiteboard.
Ah, yes!
Yes!
Oh, yes.
Write that in the book. I'm
Christmas.
Getting a whiteboard. Okay, whiteboard.
Yay!
I'm working on rearranging this guest room so that I can use it as an office now for when certain people who shall not be named that are in my family get really chatty and noisy when I'm trying to study or work. Anyway, no one wants
Man,
to
I would
about
die if I didn't have them. Oh, I love hearing about your redecorating. We have another segment if you like. At home with Brandon.
At home with Brandon. That's going to be great. Oh, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. So anyway, cooking with Canada. She didn't send us any ingredients this week, but she did ask, is 12 pancakes too many for two people? To which I have to say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to listen to this podcast anymore.
No, don't. She's
wait. She's our oldest and best listener.
She's vital.
She's vital.
This podcast wouldn't have gotten off the ground without her.
She is Drew Davenport for this podcast.
She is. Yeah. We'll have to name a character after her in some one shot. But she's not.
Yes, we'll definitely.
And the Great Murders. But I think the pancake, and most people, I don't know if a lot of people think about this or not, but the pancake is like truly one of the more versatile breakfast foods. I mean, I would dare to put it above the waffle in usability.
I don't like waffles.
I know
yeah,
you don't, but it's our friendship centered so much. But pancakes are great because you can make them in like big batches. Like, I don't know, if you're a household of two, you can make 12. And if you make them small enough to put in the freezer, then like you can toast them in the toaster.
Yeah,
pancakes. Yeah, they're like a flexible, quick make ahead breakfast.
See, okay, we're gonna get into cultural differences here again. Mm-hmm. Because the pancakes that I associate with pancakes in America and pancakes that get served at pancake shops here are too fat. They are pikelets, but big pikelets.
I don't know what that word is.
a pikelet is, when I was a kid, pikelet is like, it's a thick little pancake. So it's usually about the size of, I'm trying to think of what it is, about the size of a cookie.
We call those silver dollar pancakes because we have silver dollars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Same, it is the same mix, but they're meant to be thicker and a little bit heavier, I think, pikelets. Mm-hmm. But pancakes that you guys have are like half a centimetre or a centimetre thick. When I make pancakes, I make them more crepe-like, so that they're much more thin.
I was going to say, that's like a shitty crepe. But
then you might as well just make a crepe.
Just make a crepe.
But I don't know, what's the difference? Like, what would you consider a crepe? Because crepes are meant to be paper thin.
Yeah, crepes are real thin. So like, if you're going to have something thin, make a crepe.
But if your pancakes aren't thick, how are they going to be gooey in the middle?
Yeah, how can you put chocolate chips in them? Or
yeah, like,
I could do that.
You're missing out on so much. I mean, you can, but are you doing it right? I'm sorry.
For me, pancakes, or if you're going to call them pancakes, probably what I cook are crepes then. But for me, crepes are not necessarily a cake. They are a vessel for consuming large amounts of butter. So you get the most surface area to volume ratio you could possibly manage, so that it's basically just a thin, greasy piece of paper.
Ooh,
which
wow.
You then eat. It's yum.
Sounds equal thin parts buttery. Amazing. And see, crepes are very eggy here. I don't know if they are everywhere, but I don't like them because they have that like scrambled egg omelet like texture to them in the thin paper form.
They're not like that here.
Ugh.
What's your pancake recipe, guys? What's your pancake recipe?
Oh, my pancake recipe?
God, I don't.
It's like flour, sugar, baking soda, baking powder, and maybe only one of those. I can't remember. And
so you put in a rising agent, a
little fat, and like an egg.
Yeah. See, I put in one cup flour, one egg, one cup milk. And that's it for
you
my
don't
pancakes.
Put any sugar or
no? Because the pancakes
powder.
Themselves get coated in syrup and stuff afterwards, so there's no need for sugar. They're just
that's not the point
it's
of
just
the sugar.
A little bit of sugar.
It's just so a little bit of sugar.
Sweet.
It's not
yeah,
much.
It's like a ton of sugar. It's a little. Yeah.
It makes it stick to the pan more though, so I like it better when it doesn't stick to the
but
pan.
What kind of fucking pans are you using?
I have a skillet. I have a proper skillet. Okay. So yeah. But you know, it's. I think
plus
everyone's
you butter up the pan, and then you get them. They're even butterier and better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I put
yeah,
a little
so
in.
What does it matter if there's a little bit of sugar? There's something like a fucking
because you can't taste it. I don't mind it. I do not object to you guys putting sugar in your pancakes. This is not an argument.
I know,
it's
but
just,
you're just saying
just,
it makes it stick,
well,
and I'm saying
an
how
argument
is it sticking through the butter?
We're right.
My kids like my pancakes. They probably would hate yours, so there you go.
Probably. Probably, except I load them with chocolate chips.
So I doubt they would, yeah.
The little one would like them.
Oh. Yeah, Tom would like them.
Yeah, the not so little one anymore.
But yeah, no, I mean, my only answer to the too many is 12 too many. It depends on the pancake.
And how...
There are some giant pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And also, my best friend when I was a kid, her dad, he called them Panley Mancakes.
Oh, cute!
But they had nuts and other stuff in them. So they were super hearty, and you could eat, like, one or two.
It's like a muffin in a... It's a muffin cake.
Essentially,
or no, a pan muffin.
Oh, yeah.
A pan muffin.
But yeah, we eat them when we went to their little lake cottage. We would eat them and... Yeah,
I grew up with a Jiffy Mix. Yep. Like, it's a big thing in Michigan. I'm sure it is in other places, but we had, like, the actual Jiffy Mix factory there. And Jeff Daniels, so, like, it was all in the same city. And you can make pancakes out of Jiffy Mix. Like, any Jiffy Mix that you buy, you can make a pancake out of it. All the different flavored ones. Like, they're meant to be something you just add, like, milk to and make muffins. But
yeah,
we used them for pancakes.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, I mean, 99 cents.
Most things that you can cook, you can just put in a frying pan.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'll come out at some point.
In pancake form.
Tasting.
Although, when you're talking about, like, the big, thick, yummy diner-style pancakes that you get at, like,
yeah,
a diner. What? Well, I'm on it today.
Funny that.
I only, like, eat the middle out of them. My spouse thinks it's, like, super weird. And
what?
Like, I only...
Do you peel them?
No, I cut the outside away.
All right.
Like, I cut a little entryway into it, you know, like a sapper. Uh-huh. And then I invade the middle of the pancake and just eat the middle out of it and leave the ring of edges, because the middle is the gooey part, and that's where all the chocolate chips settle. See,
I'm yeah, starting this to is think you're having is... people making weird crepes and pancakes, because to me, the middle and the edges are usually the same.
Oh, no, I try to get them to undercook them whenever I can find someone willing to do it. So it's just a little gooey.
So when you die of salmonella, we'll know what.
I don't know, it hasn't gotten me yet. Oh, my God, I had a breast exam today.
Joy.
I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, you know, because, like, I'm at that age now where I have to have them twice a year. And yeah. She, like, you know, does the exam, got my arm over my head, and she's, like, jiggling around on my boob and just carrying on conversation with me, because I'm finally at an age where I can just, like, tune it out. And then she has me sit up, and she's like, okay, now for the awkward part, I'm going to feel your armpits. And I was like, wait, you basically just felt me up. And this is the awkward part.
You know what? I agree with her. I think I would much rather, like, I mean, obviously, for obvious reasons, I'd much rather feel up a woman's boobs than her armpits.
Well, another friend pointed out to me that maybe it's because, like, armpits are smelly at times.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
But yeah. I was just like, this is the awkward part for you. I'm sitting here in a paper crop top. Having
just
a conversation
my
about
in your
inverted
pits.
Nipple and
it's funny that actually, because yeah, there's a lot of kinky stuff about armpits, isn't there? Isn't there, like, sniffing your armpit and rubbing your musk on other people?
I don't know. Is that a thing in the furry?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is that a thing in Australia?
Gotta mark your territory. I don't. Yeah, no, I've just there's that, what's that bit in A Fish Called Wanda where he sort of does he's getting ready to do something and he sniffs his armpit to make him more, he sniffs his own armpit to make him feel more manly. It's just all a bit weird.
Oh my God,
gross,
I haven't seen that movie in ages. I don't remember, but okay, like, now it actually goes into our first and only question of the episode. Other Alex from Discord asks, what is your favorite TV tropes trope? Even if it's only just the name. So now my brain has connected. Is there a trope about kinky armpit stuff.
Am I going to start certainly. Like a sub-segment? There's a trope for that.
There's a trope for that, yeah. I just realized I'm playing with a pen very badly.
Knowing TV tropes and stuff, there probably is a fucking trope for that. I mean, it's common enough, like, right before, like, a date or something, you show someone sniffing their armpit to make sure they don't
rank. Yeah.
I reblogged something on Tumblr recently, which had a whole heap of TV tropes on it. And one of my favorite ones, I sucker for, is the one where you remove a weapon, and then you have to remove 10 more weapons, and then
it's so good.
And then,
one of my favorites is definitely the one that I can't remember what we call it. Oh, she's in love with the monster, but it always makes me think of Claire.
Oh, yes. I knew you were going to say that.
Well, if you didn't, you don't know me very well, so.
I mean, that's still mine.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about, just general ones before,
our favorite tropes.
I like all the dumb, sappy ones. Like, there was only one bed.
Oh my god, there were roommates. Coffee shop AU.
Coffee shop AU.
I love people who I love them. I love people being interrupted. Like, I know it's a really sappy one, but I love it when people get interrupted in just about to declare or just about to kiss moments, like, you know, the bits where they're sort of stuck on an island somewhere, and someone's just stumbled and they've caught them in their arms and they're looking into each other's eyes, and then someone turns up and interrupts them.
I love that one.
And I love it. It's so frustrating, but I love it so much.
Oh, what is my favorite? I don't know if it's actually on TV tropes, but I love me a good adulterous royal. Specifically queens.
What? I mean, what? I'm shocked.
This is brand new information.
But just like Claire being in love with the monster, that was brand new information. And actually, those are probably hidden somewhere on an episode that's behind the paywall now.
Yeah, probably.
So we gotta drag some of this shit back out again.
We do. Oh no, that reminds me. That reminds me, because of course the first thing I think of is like justice and stuff, but I don't remember what it was. Some song had come on, and Travis was like, "Do people really get turned on by getting like shoved up against a wall or any of that? That seems awful." And I'm like, "La la la." Like, I couldn't say anything because I couldn't say that. I don't know that I would enjoy it in real life, but that's my jam in fiction.
But it's fucking fun to write, I tell you what.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than, you know, being pushed up against the wall and told to be quiet, like hand over their mouth. Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
you'll want to read my second book then.
Some punch. Some good stuff.
I am also a really, really, really big fan of enemies to lovers, or just squabbling assholes to each other to lovers. I really love that. I love it when people start off being really shitty to each other and then end up having sex. It's great. It's my jam. I love it a lot. I love it when two guys cry and then kiss. That's always good too.
I really love the
also
the
brand
assholes
new
to lovers when it happens after like an injury or something like that. Like one of them almost dies.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love a good injury moment when feelings come out.
Yes. When they don't realize that they're in love until the other person gets hurt. I love it. Give me all of the tropes.
Yeah, what's my favorite? Tropes. That's my favorite.
All of them.
Love me.
At one point,
tropes.
I was writing I was writing quick kiss prompts for one of my pairings, and I just likened it to rolling a thief log down a hallway full of traps and setting off every single trope on the way down. Boom, boom, boom.
What log?
Do you want me to set off now? Oh, it's a D&D term. A thief log.
Oh, okay.
I thought
you said thief.
If you've got it.
Like.
No. A feet log. That'd be weird. But yeah, rolling a thief log down a hallway full of traps so that you can just set off all the traps. Like Alistair.
Yeah, I was going to say kicking Alistair down.
Alistair is actually a thief log.
Oh, my favorite human-shaped battering ram and trap finder.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, that's a segue into something that we should probably talk about this week.
It's the 10-year anniversary.
It's the 10-year anniversary.
Oh, Dragon Age. Oh my god, that's when I met
Somehow
all of
I felt it had been longer, but it's just because
I always judge
how long I've been on Tumblr by when Dragon Age 2 came out, and it feels like I've been there for 10 million years.
Yeah. It's funny, because Dragon Age 2 only came out like 2 years after
Origins, it was really fast.
It was a very short gap. Like,
yeah, it was only a year or two. It was crazy.
So, yeah, that was interesting, and so the time dilation effect is a bit weird when it comes to Dragon Age Origins, because I'm like, oh no, that can't be just when we met, because but then I realized that 10 years ago my daughter was one, so yes, it is when we met.
Actually, it was just a little after that, because I met you just before Dragon Age 2 came out.
Yeah,
like,
but I was
minutes before.
Dragon Age fandom had sort of got me about 6 or 7 months before 2 came out, maybe even a year.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yep. Yeah, but yeah, happy birthday, Dragon Age.
Happy birthday, friendship.
I still love you.
Yay.
I still love you. I mean, there's some weird stuff in our background, and maybe we went enemies to lovers back to enemies again, but I do still love you.
Yeah, I think we're on again, off again, and we'll be on again, I'm sure of it.
I'm off again. I'm off, well, I should say off always about fucking the way fandom draws Alistair now. It drives me insane.
Stop
Which
it.
Which I say because I jumped into the Dragon Age tag because I was like, oh, Dragon Age.
Yeah. Just now? Of course you did.
Yeah.
I close all my Tumblr and Facebook tabs and stuff.
Giving him elf ears ruined.
Ruins everything.
Yeah.
Don't, you're tempting me to go into the Dragon Age tag now, and that way death lies. Death
I mean, to be fair, it's not as bad now because there's been nothing happening for ages, so it's mostly like shippy fan art and stuff.
That's a good way to find all the traps. In the tag, you'll be the thief log.
I don't miss the discourse, but I do miss the fun. I've got to say,
I do think it killed my ability to write like Maida and stuff, because I used to love doing that.
Oh, same.
And then like Maida just turned into discourse, just and it, like, became very unpleasant, and so now I just don't do it anymore. Even though I'll be like, oh, I should write about this, and I'm just like,
I think the last time I wrote significant meta, I lost a 7-year friendship over it, because I deigned to say that I refuse to be defined by the choices I make in a video game.
Oh yeah.
That was
The Dragon Age fandom is especially bad about that too.
Yeah.
You can't do this because it's morally wrong. I mean, there's a couple of people on Tumblr that I follow who I've got a lot of respect for regards their opinions about villains.
Yeah.
I think you guys probably know who I'm talking about there. Hi, if you're listening. I went through all of the phases of that. Like, you know, okay, I shouldn't really like, you know, Meredith, for example, or I shouldn't really like Anders even. Or in my current fandom, there's one particular villain who's just fucking hot, man. There's no argument about it. He's hot. You can't do anything about
talking,
the fact that this particular guy who murders millions of people and is actually horrible on every level is also extremely attractive. So what are you gonna do? But yeah, I've stopped apologizing for that.
I think it goes along with the whole purity culture thing, because for the longest time there was a while where I would preface every character opinion with, well, I know that XYZ, but then after a while, it's just like, nope, whatever.
I just got so tired of that. Like,
yeah.
And I started recognizing it in other people's meta posts, you know, and I was like,
yeah,
you don't have to preface everything. We all know it's just an opinion. Opinions are subjective. And then I realized that. Like,
I mean, that is part of the problem is, we don't all know.
No. I mean, that's the other thing, too, about purity culture. It's like, you know, just because I write about a thing doesn't mean I endorse it.
And yes, it does. Somebody was on Twitter the other day in the writers community, And they were like, in the writing community, and this is really ironic that this came up just the other day, and they were like, so apparently there's a huge taboo on writing student-professor relationships, even if the student is of age, and this and that. They're like, so apparently that's beyond the pale. Am I a terrible person if I want to write it? And I was like, first of all. And then second of all, I was like, writing something is not, you know, condoning it. So I mean, write your story, dude. Just write it. Otherwise we wouldn't have villains in stories. We wouldn't have conflict.
Yeah.
You know, if we only wrote things we condoned.
Exactly. I mean, and also that's just the most hilarious thing. It was like, have you looked at, you know, about 800 years of literature? Because there's a lot of student stuff out there already. I mean, I wouldn't personally write it because I think it's been done. But if you can put a new thing on it, then go for it. No one's going to. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is your other kink that we didn't have any idea you had, isn't it?
especially not with your other book.
my kink is Karn being a trash fire, so a lovable kink to trash have. Fire. Anyway, wow, we blew right past like all the Bible phrases I dug up about the fucking war on Christmas. I'm just gonna cross that out. I was.
Oh please. We could do a flashback to the war on Christmas. We could have a mini battle. A mini battle on Christmas.
Mini battle. I actually don't even have the tabs open for the verses I found. I was using like the Bible Hub or something. But basically, like the gist is, like, you do your thing and don't be a stumbling block to other people. Basically, like, fucking.
Is that what the Bible says?
Yeah, like, it says fucking.
Wow.
I forget who it was. It was, like, Romans, I think, so it was probably Paul. And, basically it was, like, they believe their thing, you believe your thing, don't use your thing to deliberately hurt them. And basically what I interpret that to say is that, you can fucking say happy holidays if you want to. It doesn't diminish Christmas for you. There.
Yeah, especially since Christmas.
For the love of anything, I don't understand why that upsets people so much.
I don't either.
Especially because happy holidays used to be a common, like, Christmas saying, too.
Right? I grew up with it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, it's funny because they're trying to do it here in Australia. The war on Christmas hasn't been a thing here. Because Christmas is just a rubbish holiday anyway. It's too fucking hot. No one can do anything. So, the war on Christmas just didn't happen here for many, many years. And I used to love living vicariously through your war on Christmas.
Our shitty exports.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone's got to copy us on all the shittiest things.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think the year before last, it might have been last year, Barnaby Joyce, one of our erstwhile shitty politicians, he's a fuckwit, decided to start up this whole discourse about the war on Christmas. And it was quite funny because most of us were just like, huh? And we honestly don't give a shit. Please shut up. I mean, we are very, 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 like, we're technically a multicultural country, but we are very white. Like, a very, like, the majority of the population of Australia is white.
Now.
And that is just, it's just like, and 99% of those white people are Christians as well. So it's like, there's no war on Christmas here, you shitty,
there's
horrible
no
person.
I mean, there's no war here, really.
Right? I know.
It's like, oh no, Starbucks released some fucking Christmas cups, but they're not Christmassy enough. War.
They're lesbians, Harold! Oh boy. Oh, is that a good segue for the Catholicism WoW corner?
Sure.
I'm just naming segments now. Like, you guys let me write the notes and, you know, script the shows.
we gave you that power.
You did.
We did. In fact, I don't know. Actually, we didn't assign the power. You just took it.
I don't know.
You
took it.
Someone had
too lazy
this.
To wrestle it back.
Yeah. You have neater handwriting than both of us, so we're not fucking doing it.
I do, and, you know, like, it's just like stage managing you yahoos. I've been listening to Apocrypals.
Yes.
Great podcast. I'm gonna, like, let them know that we're talking about them today.
yeah, they definitely need the boost. They're not at all popular. No one listens to them. So.
Anyway.
yeah, they definitely need it from us, especially.
Today they were. Yeah, yeah. I'm still in the backlog, and today the one I listened to was about the book, about the Gospel of John. And they were talking about the, I wrote secret. That's not what I meant to write. Beloved. The beloved disciple of Jesus.
I was looking at your notes and like, secret disciple?
Secret disciple?
Sorry. It's because they get to the end of the stuff and then they're like, oh, and now we're going to talk about secret John or secret Luke. You know, parts of the different gospels that don't lap over into other ones and stuff that like is only referenced in Apocrypha, but like, you know, still shows up in canon anyway. But I need to know the Catholic stance on the beloved disciple.
Okay, what is your actual question? Like, on
who is
it? Is?
Yeah, who is it? Because they talk about this particular disciple.
It's
and
John.
And then in the book of John, like, that's one theory. One theory is that it's John, you know, and, like, in the book
I'm
of John.
I'm saying that's what the Catholic stance is.
Okay. Because, like, they talk about how, like, the disciple sits on Jesus's lap and lays their head on his bosom and stuff.
Yeah, it's John, the one that always gets called his brother John. Which
John
that's
or
a
James?
Whole different. Whatever. No, they said. But yeah, it's the whole thing. It's like people are like, it's maybe the evangelist John, but yeah.
Yeah, I heard
how
that
many, how many
Johns
are there?
I heard
there's a couple.
I heard the guys on Apocrypha's posit that it could be Lazarus. Because there's like all this scripture about in John about how Jesus loved Lazarus so much, and when he died, like Jesus was like crying about Lazarus being dead, and when they told him that Lazarus dead, they were like, "It's the one you love. He is dead," and stuff. So there was that posited, and also Mary Magdalene was posited as an option because it wasn't gender specific, at least in that translation. So,
but the Catholics wouldn't let Mary Magdalene be.
Sitting on Jesus' lap. No, probably not.
No. Although, I don't know, is it more problematic for John to be sitting on Jesus' lap?
I don't know. They got into, like, the background of, like, the Greek translation, how the Greeks have different words for every kind of love, and the love they use there is, like, brotherly love or whatever, so... So they threw out the gay theory.
Not the traditional Greek word love, which basically means cocks.
Yeah.
Because that is...
It was like
I'm Greek. I'm allowed to say that.
Fidel instead of arrow or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, there's eight, seven, something different.
A lot of words,
types of love, which we studied in my morality class, something like that. I don't remember.
I wanted to sit in your morality class. Your morality teacher sounded like a pretty cool guy.
But yeah, John is the most popular answer, I think. So I wanted to, but I never had a morality class because I'm a heretical Catholic.
I mean,
we didn't.
Brandon, I see.
We didn't talk much about, you know, the beloved disciple. There was definitely not like part of that. Wasn't part of the morality class. Yeah, I mean,
or whatever. Like your Bible class.
The general consensus, I think, was John.
That it's John.
Yeah.
But like,
I mean, I can send you this whole fucking National Catholic Register, the mystery of the beloved disciple.
But wasn't like, I would definitely be down for reading that. But like, wasn't John written like by John like a lot of years after Jesus died and came back, like timeline wise? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they think it's John. I didn't look into it enough.
Well, I mean, the Bible is like,
other than the fact that it's
not
like,
literal
it's,
for
it's
Catholics.
The only,
so.
It's the only gospel where the beloved disciple is really mentioned and is not named. So people are like,
Yeah. And John is like the wild ball, the wild card gospel anyway. Like, that's the one that's way out there and isn't anything like the other three. But whatever. Yeah. Whatever. So. Alright. Well, that was a disappointing answer, but that's pretty much what I expected.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had more interesting things for if you wanted to talk about. Yeah, that's just why I mentioned his quote-unquote brother, because you were talking about that last week.
But that made me think. The Lazarus one really,
there's
got
nothing
me.
Really, there's nothing really exciting. I mean, I don't see how it would be Lazarus, just because Lazarus is mentioned, like, a time. And I don't see, like, Mary Magdalene, I could see more because she comes up a lot and, like, was there.
Yeah, well, now I'm kind of imagining him dandling
Lazarus
both of them on his knees. Like, at the same time. Basically, what I'm saying is we get to claim Jesus now. That's it. That's what's going to get me excommunicated.
Bold of you to think they haven't done it already, Brandon.
I'm not important enough for an actual excommunication.
Yeah, we got to. The podcast has to get bigger before she can get properly excommunicated. Yeah,
we need at least 25 listeners.
I think we've probably got 25.
And then I
or you gotta you gotta get you know get working on finishing your current set of books and then get working on your fucking heretical shit.
My heretical shit. Oh, it's gonna
be
good.
And then it's gotta get big, and then I think you can get excommunicated.
Okay.
Although, they might not know to excommunicate you since you were never, you know, confirmed. You might not even count. They might just be like, whatever.
Whatever. She's not one of ours anyway.
Yeah, convenient. I think we touched, like, very briefly on that in, like, high school in our, like, talk of the New Testament. that was all that was mentioned.
Oh, and I also only found out this week that Mary Magdalene wasn't actually a sex worker.
No, I don't have any.
I don't know why I believed it. Like, it just
expertise
it just,
to put on this.
It put no like moral anything on it for me. But I just assumed, and I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. She was like Jesus's main squeeze, and he was like, hey, what up? And she's like, hey, I do this for money, and he was like, eh, we all got to get by. So, anyway, not true.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Man, we are just not sticking on topics. Like, I think we're gonna. That's okay. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. We got anything for the Lit Corner today? Like, literally anything except Restoration Theater or Golden Age of Spain. Like...
I think I was seeing a lot of people posting. There's a meme going around on Facebook where you have to post a book a day for a week.
Uh huh.
I think.
Oh, I've done that one.
That changed your life.
Well, that changed my life. Yeah.
So if you guys had like a book that you said would and don't say the Bible because that's.
I
we just did
have.
Three segments about the Bible, so I don't think
I mean, exactly. First of all, you clearly know nothing about Catholics because our reputation is that we don't read the Bible.
We don't read the Bible. This is why this is all brand new information to me.
I mean, it changed. Lost you.
Oh.
Yeah, but so if there's a book that changed your life, is there a book that changed your life? I'm quite fascinated to know.
Book that changed my life. Wow.
I mean, positively or negatively, is there a book you really fucking hated? I mean, there's books out there like that you're told you should enjoy, and you don't like, and you get forced to read them, and you just go, I don't get what the fuck's up.
Oh, basically,
for me, that particular
any
book,
quote unquote, classical literature. You know, like anything labeled literature. Like,
One of my favorite ways that any of my teachers ever handled getting us to read was in my AP English class senior year.
I was so hoping you were going to say your morality class.
Where we could read any book that we wanted, like we just had to write like a thorough essay on it or whatever to show that we'd read it. But honestly, I wish there was, I mean, I get that it'd be hard to do because you have to like test these things or whatever, but
yeah.
I wish it was more open to just read what you want, because I do think it kills a lot of kids' desire to read when they're forced to read.
Oh, yeah.
They hate.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Well, back when I was still teaching in the syllabus for English here, there was a related texts aspect to your HSC, which is the final exam thing, where you would study one book. And the book was dictated by the board, so you had everyone had to read this particular book. But you could supplement your essays with related texts, and those were you were allowed to choose those with supervision from your teacher. Yeah. So if you chose, like, say, and it, again, it was basically a justification. So if you chose the Adventure Time to go with Wuthering Heights, you'd have to tell your teacher why.
I can make it work.
Yeah, and make it happen. It's like, yes, you can use an AP podcast for your related text, but you have to give me some reasons for it and stuff like that. Which I think was really good because it also meant that it gave you a little bit of freedom to interpret the text that you were given as a main text through the lens of this other popular text that you actually liked. And so long as you could justify, I mean, and the problem is that the problem that it didn't really work was because kids would just use people who weren't really invested in it would just choose stupid texts to be their related texts and not do the justification for it. But when someone actually took a really weird combination of texts, it was fantastic to read the essays. So much more interesting to mark. So much more interesting for the kids, I'm sure, to actually do it well.
Sure.
It really sucked a lot of kids into. And a lot of the kids that I taught would come out the other end going, I really like that text that I was prescribed a lot more now because I was allowed to explore around it rather than having to just take the hard line of the criticisms that were accepted at the time. So I think that's an interesting way of going about it if you're looking at trying to get kids to be involved in
learning. I like that a lot. I picked up Slaughterhouse 5 when I was in 10th grade, and it had been on the board approved like canon list or whatever, like shit you had to read to graduate high school. And then like just before I picked it for my main project that semester, it was removed from the list. And I'm sure I can think of about five reasons why, but my teacher let me do it anyway because I had already picked it. And I don't think any one book has changed my life in one direction, but like I can think of little moments that different books have opened me up to have made like little turns in my life. And
I think
Slaughterhouse 5 was one. I think that was like my first delve into, I mean, Vonnegut would hate that I said sci-fi, but it's kind of sci-fi, you know. And,
fuck him.
Yeah. He's dead.
That's a literal death of the author going on here.
I mean, and that was like my first tip into sci-fi, and when I really started to get into and really enjoy books, I'd always enjoyed reading, but like I never thought about them when I was reading them. And that one made me think. And then another one that sticks out to me later on was Full Frontal Feminism by Jessica Valenti. And that was the first time I'd really considered, I mean, it's a very basic white feminist primer of a book, but it was the first time
I
really
sat down
and thought about social justice issues, you know, like the different cross sections of oppression and stuff. And that's when
in my Catholic high school, we had a literal social justice class.
Of course you did.
We did.
The Catholics, they mean well. I don't know. They sort of skew in weird ways. Let's go into this social justice class. Oh, you have to burn witches. No, that's not what I was thinking.
They do mean well, and that's the funny thing. Like, it doesn't excuse any of the bullshit that they've pulled. Yeah. But like,
no.
I mean, I've gotten more frustrated in recent years as Catholics have gotten onto more bullshit again. But
right.
Like, I mean, not to say there was, like, some blameless period, but there was a period where I thought fairly well of them because, I mean, we learned all about, like, workers' rights and fair wages and
it's even
there's a really strong unionizing Catholic force in Australia as well. It's funny because I taught for a little while in a Catholic school, and having gone from, which was hilarious because I was so not qualified to do that, but I didn't teach religion. I was just teaching history and English. But I found for teaching in that school such a different experience to teaching in public schools and a lot of private schools that were ostensibly Church of England or Anglican schools.
Right.
Because the pastoral care at the Catholic school was so much better than it was at these other schools. I mean, it, obviously in a public school, they didn't have the funding to do it.
Right.
But in a Catholic school, we would get together in the mornings for staff meetings every morning and talk about problem students and how we could help them. And it was full on it was couched very much in God language, which I don't necessarily appreciate it as an atheist, but it was coming from a place of, we are concerned about this student and their well-being. How can we help them? Not, you know, this person needs to be punished for being a devil worshipper or whatever I would have maybe thought before I went to teach in a Catholic school. But it was a really interesting positive experience for me, because there was a very much a focus in the Catholic system for looking after the kids and making sure they were healthy and happy, which I didn't see in the other schools I was in to the extent. I mean, there was a certain aspect of that too in the private school, in the public schools I was in. But as I said, in those cases, there were just so many other problems to deal with that looking after each individual kid's needs was just much, much more difficult.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the witch trials in, like, the Catholics meanwhile, because, like, that is, like, the very definition of the Catholics meanwhile. Like, they actually thought they were, like, saving people by doing this. Like, we're doing this for your soul! We're gonna murder you for your soul's sake, you know, and it just, like, kind of spirals from there. Like,
That was in Good Omens.
No, this is a problem with talking about Catholicism.
Look, I just whispered. I've already resisted. I have counted, I think, three other moments where I was gonna mention.
We need a whiteboard for you as well.
We need
a countdown every time you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. We'll periodically post photos of them on the Instagram. Claire, speaking of, do you have there's a fanfic for that for the week?
Yes. Yes. This one's not as exciting or weird. Damn. This one I just wanted to mention because this was the fandom where I first personally had my moment of, there is a fan fiction for everything. Because someone in college was talking about writing Law and Order fan fiction.
And I was like,
what? Because I don't know why, like, to me, there's certain fandoms that seem, this is obvious, this would have fan fiction. Like, I don't know, any sort of fantasy or sci-fi and stuff like that, that always seems, I mean, the speculative nature of it, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, I was just like, what? So, yeah, that was, like, my first moment of, like, yeah, there is. So, yes, I looked it up, and, there is fan fiction for each Law & Order, including Law & Order Los Angeles and Law & Order Trial by Jury, which, if I remember correctly, was real bad. That one was their, that was, like, I feel like that one might have been the one that was reality.
That sounds
as
like
in they,
it.
Like, it was, like, an actual trial, and I remember it was awful. But,
I didn't know there was a Los Angeles one.
Yeah, those both have...
Oh, there's been so many Law and Orders.
Yeah. Those both have 8 fanfics. I'm trying to decide if Law and Order SVU is just more conducive to fanfiction, or if it's just because that's the one that's still been going, whereas Law and Order proper ended a while back.
Yeah.
Because that only has...
Is SVU still going?
That only has 536, whereas SVU has 6,551.
Wow! Well, I mean, SVU has
funny
people
I
like
watching...
Ice-T and BD Wong and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, what's the guy's name? Olivia's partner. I can't remember. He's the original partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stenson?
I can't
is very popular
name.
Now. Chris Maloney, is that his name?
Yeah.
He's the one
who
does the spits in weird places.
He gets confused for another guy. The guy that played Casey Jones in one of the Ninja Turtle movies.
Yes. Let me find it. Law and Order SVU cast. I need to know who this guy is, because he's hilarious. He had there was a time there he was doing the splits in weird places.
Uh-huh.
It was
a
meme.
Oh yeah, he's mostly been in comedic things.
Oh yeah, it's Christopher Maloney.
Yeah, it's Christopher Maloney. But yeah, he's mostly been in comedic kind of things. And ironically, what's her face? Who is Benson? Is also like a comedian.
Okay,
so I don't know how they both ended up in like the most uber serious of all.
amuses me the most about
my burning
SVU is that and Law and Order is it's in the same it is actually in the same universe as the X-Files.
Yes.
Because Richard Belzer turns up in an X-Files episode.
Yeah, he was in an episode of the X-Files.
And he was Detective Munch. He was Detective Munch in the X-Files. So it's the same fucking universe as the X-Files.
Oh my god, the crossover I never knew I needed. Probably because I don't watch the X-Files.
It's not even a crossover. It's canon.
Yeah, it's the same universe.
Oh my god. Yep. My burning question though is who is the popular ship with Lenny Briscoe?
That's a good question.
I'm not even seeing him getting shipped.
That's so sad.
I think it's been a while. Like, is he even? He's not even.
He's
on
died
it.
A
he
long
died,
time
he
ago.
Died a while ago.
So
yeah.
I'm not in Law and Order proper. That's why.
Oh, okay.
But I suspect that if there was any ship with him, it would have been with Munch because they were partners, and that would work.
Okay, no, there's only 70 fix with him in it.
He was partners with like everybody because he was on that show for so long. He was partners with the guy who plays Barry Allen's dad now. I can't remember names. He was partners.
Apparently,
with...
the top one is Mike Logan, who I don't even know who that is.
Oh, that's a really old one.
Oh, and then down. Considerably less is only four of them, but he's with McCoy. So.
Yeah, okay, I can see that one. Man, they fought so much.
What?
Enemies to lovers.
Okay, wait. Okay, so I clicked on the relationships, and they're all what you would think, as in Law and Order characters, and then near the bottom is Jack Sparrow / Bootstrap Bill Turner. So, I need to figure out what this is all about.
Yeah, and report back, but, yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's an opening for me in the Law and Order fandom.
It's a fucking Stargate SG-1 Law and Order Pirates of the Caribbean crossover.
Oh my god.
Oh my god!
I need to make a Venn diagram of that. Alright. But it sounds like there's a niche for me in the Law and Order fandom where I can finally write my Lenny Briscoe / writer.
Live your best life.
Insert, live my best life.
This will be what gets you back to fanfiction.
please come back to us. We better wrap up, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're there. We started pretty quick, didn't we? We didn't fuck around today.
No, we didn't.
Oh, before we go, I wanted to shout out to everyone who's doing Nano this year. Godspeed, or
better you than me.
Yeah, better you than me. I very, very much support Nano.
I
round up on PayPal.
Do
all the
Inktober
time.
And who can do NaNoWriMo? I just decided long ago, and not for me.
New.
I mean, especially Nano, because Inktober, there's a possibility I could do it because it's like I could draw a picture a day. The problem with Nano is I've not in my life written something that's supposed to be longer that will stop anywhere near short enough. If I get up to that many words, it's gonna be like I'll be like I'm a third of the way into the story now.
Well, yeah, but then you win. The problem
I know,
for me
but the
win.
Problem is I'll start to get like it gets frustrating because I feel like it should be going faster, and then like it's a whole snowball effect, and so it's just like no.
Yeah, I'm really glad I did it last year. I mean, it was a great experience. It was a terrible experience. I'm glad I did it. Mm-hmm. I won. I enjoyed it. It is not for me in my compulsive, obsessive personality.
It was not for me with my executive dysfunction.
Yeah,
cannot do it.
But see, that's the problem. Is like I'll get like a third of a way into store. In the meanwhile, anyone else I know who's doing it be like, all right, I finished this novel. And I'm like, yeah, nope. I didn't finish anything. And now I just have another started thing that I won't finish.
Well, for the people out there that are doing it, I tip my headphones to you. And I do want to know what you're writing. Check in with us.
Tell us.
We'd love
to
hear about that. We'll talk about it.
We want to hear about it. We want to know about your OCs. And let us know. You can send that to us actually at bibibi C-A-S-T. I forgot the address for a minute.
You got it right. It's all good.
At gmail.com. Or you can even tweet that to us on Twitter. Just tag us with bye-bye-bye podcast.
Twitter and Patreon and all that on the Tumblr, which is byebyebyecast.tumblr.com. Although I've been having a finicky, weird time with Tumblr's messaging system, so maybe don't send your questions there, because I've had a number of things just delete themselves when I try to send a reply to people, and I'm like, well...
Yeah, and if you want to come and join us on our Discord, there's a link to that on the top of our Twitter. Come and ask questions in there, because we will see them and we'll have chats with you.
It's pinned up there, isn't it? Right.
It's pinned up there.
Yeah, it's pinned on Twitter.
So yeah, you
can.
And if you feel like throwing us a few bucks, you can do that on Patreon, which is patreon.com/byebyebye, where you can get access to a few things that we didn't put up in the feed.
and it also motivates us to do things like the recently released to the public Pelopels special episode.
Yes. We have so many ideas.
As I say, all the actual audio content that goes up on Patreon will eventually be released to the public, but you get it first.
Except the early episodes, which are going in the opposite order.
Yes. Except for the ones that we're hiding in shame. If you want to see our shame, the only way you get to see our shame is by becoming a patron.
That's our new tagline. Pay more money. See our shame.
Pay more money. Get worse content. Is how it goes.
I bet look, no one it's else got has some, a
it's got
model
some classic
like
moments. The audio is just real bad. It's got good stuff bad. Like spaces by culture. And
oh my god! Yeah.
The
yeah.
origins of me and my monster thing.
and I think you see the early days of my furriness. So. It's but in any case.
Oh, you also get to see her actual furry porn.
Her furry porn.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you like us for whatever reason, give us a rate and a review on your podcatcher of choice. And for every written review that you screen cap or photograph or whatever and send to us, we will donate $1 to Scarlatine, one of the probably the best sex education and relationship education resource out there for young people.
We'll see you all next week. Thank you very much for joining
us.
We love you. Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
Bye bye.
I'm eating the microphone. I was on voice chat with a whole bunch of people the other night, and they were like, "You're so quiet. You need to eat the microphone." So I came up and went, "Hello, hello. You really want me to eat this microphone? Hello." Anyway.